This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
128 here on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. And joining us on the line is Dr. Jennifer Evagno, New Orleans Health Director. Doctor, thanks for making time today on short notice. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian. I'm happy to be here.
In your conversations with the Louisiana Illuminator there, you described the reclassification of these misoprostol and mifepristone as a public health crisis, ma'am, emphasizing this will delay essential care, particularly in emergencies like postpartum hemorrhaging, which can have life-threatening consequences. Tell us more about that, ma'am. What makes this a public health crisis?
Well, yeah, I think that a lot of lay people might not realize how commonly these medications, particularly misoprostol, are used, and not just in women's health. You know, as one of my OB colleagues put it, if you have a uterus, it's likely that you might have used or needed misoprostol at some point in your life, whether it was to manage a miscarriage, whether it was to have a procedure, or whether it was in childbirth. So it's used a lot by women, but it's also used for a number of other conditions. And what we know is that whenever you restrict access to medications that don't really need that access restricted, then people don't utilize them, people don't get them. And when you don't get the standard of care treatment, then you tend to have worse outcomes. And just understanding Louisiana's historically poor statistics when it comes to maternal health, maternal deaths, and and serious outcomes, anything that makes that worse really is something that we all should take very seriously.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I can't imagine there's very many people listening that that wouldn't agree. So let's drill down on postpartum hemorrhaging. For folks who don't know what that is and don't know what kind of care somebody experiencing that needs and how they might now not be able to get that, walk us through that. What is that?
Sure. Postpartum hemorrhage is worldwide a leading cause of maternal deaths, right? It is very common for women in the course of normal childbirth to have a lot of bleeding. You know, in America, it is also a top cause of death, but we have a lot of resources at our disposal. And in Louisiana, over the last 10 years, the State Department of Health, to its credit, have really made it a focus. They've done a tremendous amount of work with hospitals and doctors and nurses, so that now postpartum hemorrhage in Louisiana is still a concern, but we have so many tools to manage it. One of the major tools to manage when someone is bleeding profusely, either during childbirth or immediately after, is misoprostol. It is a drug that is very safe. It stops bleeding, you know, fairly quickly, and it doesn't have a lot of contraindications or side effects. So for many people, if they are at the bedside treating a patient who's bleeding, this is a drug that they want to have immediately available and give very quickly. When it becomes a controlled substance, that does not happen. It is a different process. It cannot just simply be on hand at the bedside. There's a whole set of regulations that have to go with it. And, you know, if you've ever watched someone, and you know, very few people have, but I can say, having watched someone bleed out during what was supposed to be a routine, wonderful, happy childbirth, it happens very, very, very quickly in a matter of minutes. So it's really, you know, unfortunately, our doctors are going to have, you know, not be able to readily use a medication that might be very beneficial in a short amount of time. And yes, the difference might only be a matter of minutes, but it doesn't take very long for bleeding to go from manageable to severe. And, you know, that's what I think a lot of our doctors and a lot of our patients are concerned about.
Yeah, I do want to stay focused on patients. We'll come back to them in a minute, but I do want to make sure we have time to talk about the effect that this has on healthcare providers. I read this report from Lyft Louisiana and the Center for Reproductive Rights, which highlights an increase among moral distress among clinicians, doctors, hospital staff that know what their patient needs, but they are unsure if they are legally allowed to give it to them, or they're unsure what the consequences will be if they do intervene to save this patient's life. And then what the state police come in the next morning with a pair of handcuffs and lock you up for 10 years? Like, that's crazy. What are you hearing from healthcare providers who are responding to these new regulations?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I think once it was very clear that Louisiana, like a handful of other states, decided to criminalize physicians for trying to provide care, then it caused this real chilling effect among my colleagues. And I have to say, we have fantastic doctors in Louisiana, especially our OBs. They go above and beyond every day, all day, and they just want to do the right thing for our patients. But they're watching what's happening in other states where, you know, our providers just want to treat things that are legal in the best way. You know, they are not running around, you know, trying to do abortions. They understand that abortion is illegal under most conditions in Louisiana. They want to be able to safely care for women who are miscarrying or in childbirth or a host of other conditions. But because there has been such a focus on the penalties for physicians, and because the law is vague, and that's because, you know, medicine and the practice of medicine is very broad. You can't possibly think of every potential thing that might come up. There's so much confusion, and they really feel like if they don't get it 100% right, or even if someone misinterprets what might be happening, then there is a real risk of them going to jail, losing their license, being fined an awful lot of money just for trying to give patients the highest quality care. And while our providers, by and large, you know, many of them are committed to working through that and to changing that and to making things better for patients in Louisiana, a lot of our medical students and our young trainees are saying, you know what, I don't want to practice in a place like this. I'm going to go somewhere where I can give the highest quality standard of care that I was trained to do, and I don't have to worry about potentially going to jail. So, you know, we've got a shortage of physicians and providers already in Louisiana, and this is something that we're seeing in other states that is going to make that worse.
There are a couple people texting in right now on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking text line that are not picking up what you're putting down, doctor. This text message says, how is the medication restricted? You need a script? How is that restrictive? Am I to believe a doctor in a hospital cannot administer it quickly? I'm calling BS. What's your response?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So whenever you place something on the controlled dangerous substance list, right, it goes on there because it has high potential for abuse. So things like fentanyl, morphine, Xanax, Valium, drugs that we don't really want to be out and about, right, because there's such a high potential for addiction. So it's a good thing that we have that list. But what that does is that there is a very specific way that that medication now has to be secured. There is a very specific process for accessing it. It cannot just be hanging out. You can't carry it from room to room. You can't just have it available on an open cart if you need it. It has to be tied to an order. It has to be what the regulations say are in a securely locked, substantial cabinet, so a very specific type of box, and a large box generally that hospitals have that may not be anywhere near the room where you're delivering, and you just can't go, anybody just can't go and get it. So it creates on the inpatient side delay and a much longer, more stringent process that is certainly appropriate for something like fentanyl, like morphine, but for a drug like misoprostol, which has zero addictive properties, this just doesn't make any medical sense. And on the outpatient side, there are additional restrictions on a pharmacist who's going to fill one of these prescriptions. And, you know, in many cases, we have already heard of pharmacies refusing to fill it because they're afraid that someone might misinterpret them filling a prescription that is being used for an elective abortion, when really it's clear that it's being used for a miscarriage. But because there are penalties on that pharmacist as well, they don't want to go through the steps. The other issue is all of these controlled substances are tracked on a list. And again, that's very good. So we know that doctors aren't overprescribing things like Percocet or Vicodin because that caused a lot of trouble. But there's a lot of concern from pharmacists and from providers that we're hearing that if I prescribe these routinely for miscarriages and IUD insertions, now my name is on a list that a law enforcement agency could look at and say, oh, wow, I think she's prescribing it too much. I'm going to go investigate her. So it might sound like a small thing, but if you look into what happens with controlled substances, it is very different than just, you know, a Tylenol or going to pick up your, you know, blood pressure medications at the pharmacy.
Thank you, doctor. That's an excellent explanation. If I was asked, in like 10 words, I could say you're adding too much red tape to a life-saving medication, and the time it takes to cut through the red tape means women will die.
It certainly does.
So if those of you that are texting in saying, like, I don't understand, there's your answer. Here's another text that says, other than trying to bash Governor Landry, who I think I mentioned by name once, what is your point? The point, as we've been saying from the beginning, is that making these medications a controlled substances is getting in the way of health care for women having wanted pregnancies. We're not talking about abortion. We're not talking about that. We're talking about women who are trying to have a child or have just had a child and are now in medical jeopardy because of these laws. That is the point, Texter. All right. Sorry. I got
right. No. And look, this is not political. You know, I have spoken to physicians across the state of every political stripe. And, you know, no one thinks this is about politics. All of them are saying why this is medically inappropriate. It's scientifically inappropriate. And the consequences are tremendous. And what it's also done is just confuse our patients. Right. They now aren't quite sure what's legal, what's not legal. You know, I've been encouraging everyone I know who is pregnant or might become pregnant to have a real conversation with their OB about if I need this medication, what does that really mean? How am I going to get it? You know, how can you ensure that I'm not going to have a complication? What if the pharmacy doesn't fill it, right? It's really about protecting the health of Louisianians. Particularly, we want women to have safe childbirth. We want healthy families. All of us do, regardless of where you are in the political spectrum.
Absolutely. Can I keep you for about another 10 minutes, doctor?
Sure.
Okay, great. Coleman, let's step away and take care of some business here. And when we come back, doctor, I want to ask you about, you know, what the long-term implications of this are. We've seen, you know, in some of the Great Plains states, the Dakotas, Idaho, they are turning into maternity care deserts where women who are pregnant or trying to become pregnant are not able to get the kind of treatment that they are accustomed to getting in this country and other industrialized Western countries. We'll talk about that and what Louisiana's future might look like in a few years. I'm Ian Hoke, sitting in for Scoot. We'll be right back.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Right back after this. That's the way to get in touch. You can give me a call. You can shoot me a text. I got a few minutes left with Dr. Jennifer Evegno, New Orleans Health Director, and then I'll be talking to you. After that, I got no more guests until 3:25. So if you want to talk to me about anything you've heard so far today, get in line now. Doctor, thanks for sticking around. I wanted to touch about the long-term implications of this law. If, I don't know, if there's not some sort of, I don't know if it's a legal solution through the courts, if somebody sues and overturns this reclassification, or if the legislators, you know, hear enough back from doctors and physicians that this is bad policy, then they reverse themselves. But I'm imagining, you know, in 10 or 15 or 20 years, when we have the set of circumstances we have now where doctors are afraid to give life-saving medical care because Louisiana would put them in prison for it. Why would they be practicing medicine here? Why would people come to any of the medical schools that we have here to practice? Why would somebody move their family down here to be an OBGYN or any other kind of physician that's in this sort of, you know, situation? Where does this leave us in another, you know, 10 or 15 years? Are we going to become a maternity care desert where there just aren't any of these types of medical specialists around here?
Well, in some ways we already are. So about a third of Louisiana parishes are what we would consider maternity care desert, and that there's no OB provider there. And so certainly we can kind of project the future a little bit if we look to Idaho, right? So Idaho has even more restrictive laws or, you know, around reproductive care than Louisiana does, although they don't have the controlled substances yet, but they have very, very restrictive laws. So in the 2 years since those laws have taken effect, they've had about 40% of their OBs have left the state, and more than half of their high-risk OBs, the people that would be seeing these very complicated cases, have left the state. And the advice to pregnant women in that state is to get helicopter insurance for the duration of your pregnancy so you can go somewhere else if you get really sick. I don't think any of us in America want that to be our future, but that is what is happening right now on the ground in Idaho. So obviously, you know, we need to figure out how we can avert that. But, you know, what we see is that when, you know, I sit on the mortality review committee, and Louisiana, the state Department of Health produces reports every year on maternal morbidity and mortality. They are incredibly well done. They are national best practices. And what we've seen is a real decrease in deaths from hemorrhage. I'm very concerned, and my colleagues are concerned, that that is going to be reversed. And whereas big urban centers like New Orleans and Baton Rouge and Shreveport, you know, there are generally more resources in terms of OBs in general and high-risk specialists and hospitals with advanced capability who can manage the sickest of the sick. But a lot of our births happen in rural areas in Louisiana, in small hospitals that simply don't have the capacity. They just don't have the extra bandwidth. Well, if we don't have this one medication available, it'll be okay because we have all these other systems readily in place. And in many cases in Louisiana where we see the worst maternal morbidity and mortality, it's not in our big cities, it's in our rural areas. So we are further burdening areas that we know are either deserts or close to being deserts, don't have the same level of resources even as our urban areas. That's not going to get better. If we are a state that wants to encourage people to come here, that want people to grow their businesses, grow their families, then I think we need to show that we support doctors. Doctors are pillars of the community, just like pharmacists are. We want to show them that we are welcoming and we appreciate the high quality care that they will bring.
I think we probably got time for just one more here, Doctor. And hesitant as I am to invite politics into the discussion at all, it is inherently a sort of a political issue, at least the way that it's framed now in Louisiana. So the attorney general's job is to defend the laws that the state has passed. That is her mission. So it shouldn't surprise anyone that she would be out here defending what the legislature has done. But it seems to me like she's maybe gone a step further than that in saying that some of the concerns that you're hearing from doctors and physicians are, quote, manufactured, and that the problem, quote, doesn't exist. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would say that the maternal health crisis in Louisiana is very real. And you can talk to doctors who will give you examples, but really talk to patients in the state. Talk to people that have had difficult outcomes as it is. So there's no manufacturing here. I will also say that there's been an outpouring of concern from across the state. When we initially learned about the amendment to the bill that created the controlled substances provision, you know, there was a letter sent to the bill's author that has 300 signatures of physicians, medical students, and healthcare professions. That's not political. That is a really big number. And it was all different specialties. It was the Louisiana Association of Addiction Medicine. It was the OB medicine. It was emergency medicine, right? So for all of those providers to come together and say, this is a problem and it's going to cause harm, I just don't see how anybody could say that was manufactured. I think that physicians are concerned and confused enough that what we're looking for is clarity, not accusations.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anything else you want our audience to know before we run out of time here, Doctor?
No, I would just say, you know, if you're a patient, particularly if you're a woman who is either pregnant or going to have pregnant, have a conversation with your doctor. Don't be afraid to do that. Understand what the limitations might be. Understand what the backup plan is. Please have confidence in our providers, but let's all work to, you know, explain to our policymakers that physicians really just want to be able to practice the highest quality care in Louisiana, and that's what we all deserve. So, I'm hoping that we can all work together to mitigate these effects.
You got it. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Evegno, New Orleans Health Director. Thank you for your time, your work, and your way. I'm sure we'll be speaking about this issue again after October 1st as we see these laws in action. Thanks again, Doctor. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
504-260-1870 is the number to call. Get in touch. I got a couple texts stacked up here already. I will read those after we come back. At 2:10, we'll do the news bomb, and then we'll chat about politics for a little while until 3:25, and we'll talk about the future of Canal Street. Lots more to get to today. I'm Ian Hoke, sitting in for Scoot. BRB.